You know, when we go out into the world, we're faced with a lot of things that distract us, that cause us problems, that get us into situations where we become very impatient, and we sometimes even get mad at ourselves and other people. I don't know about you, but Wednesday night kind of breaks my week up. I've had 3 days of on the job and other things that I'm responsible for, and Wednesday kind of breaks it up, and then I have 3 more days, and then we come back. But you know, our Christian life is basically not the time we spend here, it's the time we spend out there. For a few minutes tonight, I'd like to leave with you, and that's, you know, what I get from Wednesday night invitations or the sermons that the different men give. And tonight I'd like to leave with you the word lighthouse. You might not have thought of a lighthouse in a long time. I'm not an expert on lighthouses. I know a little bit about them, and maybe I can share something with you. If you're an expert, then I might not be able to tell you any more than you know. Do any of you know anything about lighthouses? Have any of you ever visited a lighthouse? Around here, we don't have lighthouses. Up on the eastern coast, Maine and Massachusetts and up in there, they have lighthouses. Down around the coast of Florida, they have lighthouses. I'll suggest to you that lighthouses in the past and even now, even with sophisticated equipment and technology we have, lighthouses are very, very important. They're very important. They're stable. They're right there at the edge of the ocean. A lot of the times there's dangerous things there, rocks and other things, but they're very stable. They have a light. They have a position, and whoever's out there in the water can look to that light, and it stays there. It doesn't move one way or the other. So it's very important. Even today, sometimes our mechanical things can kind of, they're very, very stable, and I appreciate them, but sometimes they can even give us a false reading. What does that have to do with spirituality and Christianity? God expects us to be lighthouses. You know, we talk a lot about evangelism, and we should. We should be sowing the seed out there, but you're a lighthouse. You should be positioned out there with whatever you do at your home, in your job, at school, as I'm going to call it, the steady eddy. They know you because you're grounded in God's word. A lot of times, and I've compared my business this way, a lot of my competitors go out and just scramble around for people. But if you become a source of real estate, or if you become a source of spiritual maturity, people will gravitate to you. They feel just, using the water here, they feel like they're drowning out there. And they see you as a light, and they gravitate towards you. Now then, the question is, what are you doing with those type folks? They're hungering for God's mercy, just like he showed you and me, and we found it. What are you doing for them? Are you a lighthouse? As we talked in class even tonight, we're lighthouses to each one of us in here. And we should be, because sometimes I have problems and difficulties and you can help me out, and vice versa. Think about it tomorrow, and as you are out in the world, being a lighthouse. Choose to be a lighthouse. There's a song in our book, and you probably already know where I'm going to go to. It's 237 if you want to read along with me. But it's a very important song that someone penned years ago. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from the lighthouse evermore. That's the eternal lighthouse. But listen what he assigned to you and me. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. We're right on the edge of the evil world. How does your light shine? That's the question tonight. The The second verse, dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. As I said a while ago, there's people out there that spiritually are drowning. And maybe even physically in the day-to-day activities they have, they're lingering. Do they see you as that steady person that has a peace that they don't have? And they see your light over there, and they wonder why you're different than they are. Are you a lighthouse? The last verse, trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor seaman, tempest tossed, trying to make the harbor in the darkness, may be lost. Do people gravitate to you for the safety they can have in Christ Jesus? Is he really the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of your life? Can people see that? Do they see you as the lighthouse? Let me leave you with one final thought. And as you go out tomorrow into the world, I hope this stays with you. And we've talked about this in our class up here in the book of James and in 1 Peter, the holy life that you and I should be living. A holy life will produce the deepest impression. A holy life will produce the deepest impression. When people see what you're living is the same as what you're preaching, then you become credible to them. Listen to this. Lighthouses blow no horns. They only shine. What are you going to do tomorrow? You going to shine, or are you going to go out there and just be blowing your horn? I meant this to be an encouragement to the Christians that are here. If you're not a Christian, you can't be a light. You're actually searching for the light. If you have a need this evening, whether you haven't found Jesus as your Savior, or if your lamp needs to be trimmed, we invite you to come as we sing the song.